I want to come to you speaking about God's love. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for every listener, oh God. We thank you that you would penetrate the hearts of the people, oh God, and that a seed would be sown and that, Lord, you would bring forth the increase in Jesus' name. Amen. Coming out of the book of John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And when I look up the word that God so loved the world that he gave, that means he provided, he offered, he presented his only begotten Son. And as we take a closer look at that, we must understand that begotten means to procreate, to generate, to bring forth. He brought forth his Son so that we may live. And I want to go back and I want to talk to you, go back to John 2:18, when the Jews spoke to him about the temple, when it was he was going to rebuild the temple. And the Jews therefore answered and said to him, "What sign do you show us, seeing you do these things?" And Jesus answered and said, he said, "Destroy this temple in 3 days and I will raise it up." And the Jews therefore said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So that brings me back to John 3:16, where that's what he was talking about, that his body would be the temple, would usher in the new covenant. And we understand that God's love, he said he so loved the world that he gave. We know that God is a giver. We know that God loves and God protects. So he gave his only begotten Son. And when you truly love someone, there's almost nothing that you wouldn't do for them. Nothing you wouldn't do for your children. Nothing you would do for your family, your friends, your neighbors. The generosity is extravagant when we love, when love is the motivating factor. And God's motivating factor and his influence was by love, because he is love. And what does love mean? Love is an intense feeling of deep affections. And that's what God was. He has a deep affection for the world, for people, because he, in the beginning, he created man. And when he did all of his creations, he said it was good. But when he created man, male and female, he said that was very good. That was the love that he expressed for mankind. And we know that God, he covers us, he protects us, and God's love, it drew us. And so I want to also talk to you, come out of 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, talking about love with the scripture, the definition of love from our scriptures in the New Testament. It said love is patient. When it's someone's patient with you, they don't rush you. They give you time. They are not just telling you, okay, we got to go, we got to do this now. God gives us time to come to him. God gives us time. He's patient with us that we would come to us, because it says in his word that his loving kindness drew us, and God is constantly drawing us, and he gives us patience. Otherwise, we all would have been consumed. Amen. And love is kind. You know, love is not mean, it's not brutal, but it's kind even to those that are not kind to you. And then love, it doesn't envy. It doesn't envy, because envy is a part of the work of the enemy. When you begin to envy something or someone, that means that you're allowing the enemy to overtake your mind. You're being influenced by the enemy. So love does not have envy in it. Love doesn't boast. It's not boastful. We don't boast in the things that God has given us. We've all been gifted with gifts and talents, and natural talents, spiritual gifts, but we don't boast about it. And most of all, love is not prideful. We don't want to be prideful. God said he hates pride. That's what happened to Satan when he got kicked out of heaven, because he became prideful and he wanted to take God's place. So pride is not and should not be in our vocabulary. Pride is not and should not be in our works. Pride is not and should not be in our actions. Pride is not and should not be in our whatever we do or say. Then the next thing, love is not does not dishonor others. We don't dishonor each other. Love does not dishonor. I'm not going to dishonor you, and you don't dishonor me. We are not to dishonor anyone. So when you find someone dishonoring someone else because of, for whatever reason, then you know love is not in operation. And they're not being moved and persuaded by the things of God. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. And that's one right there because, you know, we all, the Bible said, be angry, but don't sin in your anger. And oftentimes people think that they can't get angry, but you can get angry because that's a part of your emotions. But he said, don't sin in your anger. Jesus was angry when he came into the temple and he turned over the tables because what they were doing money change. They were cheating the people and selling doves and had nothing to do with the temple that he was building up. He said, I'm going to destroy this temple. And they said, well, wait a minute, it took 39 or 36 years to build this temple. They were talking about a building, but he said, I'm going to build it up in 3 days. The temple you know nothing about. So he was preparing the way for the new temple, for the new covenant. He was preparing the way that their bodies would eventually become the temple of the Holy Ghost. It, our bodies is a temple, and that's what he was talking about was going to be built up. He was going to bring back that temple that God had already created and already had put in place. It was all already a part of the blueprint in the New Testament. I'm sorry, in Genesis when the fall came. So we can be angry, but don't sin in our anger. And don't begin to allow the root of bitterness to come up in our anger because that is not love. And God has given us a outline and a blueprint of what love truly is. And oftentimes we misconstrue what love is. And so he's letting us know what love is. So when you find yourself being angry and being hateful because of how someone treated you, or you went through a bad marriage, or you went through a bad relationship, a bad situation on your job, and you begin to hate people. And then allow the root of bitterness to root up in your heart and fester in your heart, then that pushes away the love that God said he shed abroad in our hearts. So be angry, but deal with it and take it to the altar in prayer and leave it right there. Love keeps no records of wrongdoing. And oftentimes we remember the things that people have done to us. We remember, you know, I remember when you did this and you did that. But we're not to keep angry or keep records of what someone done to us. Because remember, there was one time where you offended someone, you know, and Paul said that we're going to offend and we're going to be offended. So when we do things to other people and cause an offense, we don't want people to keep that record of us. So we have to let that go too. And that's one of the hardest things we find with humanity is to let go and let God. God said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And so if we begin to just really just lay our hearts and our minds, our soul and everything that we have, if we lay it on the altar and truly let God lead and guide you, he said in Proverbs 3:5, if we would acknowledge God in all of our ways, he said he will direct our path. So if we acknowledge him, even in the good times as well as the bad times, we acknowledge him when people have done us wrong. We acknowledge him when people talked about us. We acknowledge him when people lied on us and people cheated us. We acknowledge him in that, and he's already aware of it, saints. He already knows what happened. He already knew it was going to happen before it happened. But yet he said to still acknowledge him, and God will redirect your path. God will direct your path, which means he's directing your heart. He's directing your mind. He's directing your thought pattern, because he tells us constantly to guard, put up the guard, put a guard your heart, guard your mind. These are gates. These are the gates of entrance to your soul. So he wants us to guard those things so that the root of bitterness doesn't root up and we keep wrong records of people, because remember, we got a record too. So love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in what is true. So we don't walk in the what's evil and call evil good and call good evil. Evil is evil. Good is good. And there's no crisscross on that. And there's no shades of gray. It's black or white. And so he doesn't want us to delight in the things that are evil, the things that are wrong, the things that are not of God. Don't get joy in that. But the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Also, he said in Psalms 37, if we would delight ourselves in him, him in the goodness of God. We will delight ourselves in him. He will give us the desires of our heart. And he also said, if we would commit our ways, he will bring to him, he will bring it to pass. So what are we delighting in? We're delighting in the things of God. We're delighting in the joy of God. We're delighting in the strength of God. We're delighting in what he has called us to do. We're delighting in the Holy Spirit. We're delighting in how he embraces us and how he loves on us, how he protects us, not delighting in the evil things, not delighting in the wrong, keeping wrong records of people, not delighting in the hateful things, but delighting in the love of God and love truth. What is truth? God is truth. His word is truth. He said that he's a healer. He's a protector. He's a covering. He's peace. That is truth. The enemy brings confusion. And he said that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. He said that old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. And sin, sickness, poverty, fear, doubt, worry, and confusion, all that Satan represents, he said it shall have no dominion over us. That's the truth right there, that Satan's lies and sickness and contention has no dominion over us. We have the authority and dominion over this earth that we were created in. So what is truth is what God said. His word is truth. Love always protects. We always cover and protect our friends and our brothers and our sisters. We don't expose them of whatever they've done. Don't be quick to expose, because God said also, and if you don't forgive, he's not going to forgive you. Always trust. And that's one of the things that people say, well, I'm not going to trust people. Well, God said to trust. We have to follow his word. That is truth. And always hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And we always what? Persevere. We always persevere. Persevere until the end. And then he said what? The final thing on 8. He said, love never fails. Everything else will fail, but love never fails. Why? Because God is love. God is love. And so Jesus came into this world. He's born of a woman, but not the seed of a man, but instead he was the seed of God. And he was generated by God and placed in the womb of a woman. This is a birth in the world that's not of the world. And Christ did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. And that's the love that God has for the world, for mankind, that he created for his glory, that he can commune with, that can worship him. He sent his son in this world to save the world. If we would just believe in him, if we would just trust in him, and if we would just hold on to the things of God and do what God has told us to do. So what are we saying? Love. God's love, it constrains us. God has called us to love one another. Amen. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk about Brother Nicodemus for a minute. I'm going back to John 3, the first chapter. It says, now there was a man that was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night. You know, sometimes we come to the Lord by night. When that's good, as long as we come. He came by night because one of the things, the reason why Nicodemus came to the Lord, because he was a conqueror of the people. And he was a very influential man and a respected member of the Sanhedrin. And Nicodemus, he was a trained Jewish, he was trained to teach the Torah, the law, the oral law of the word and theology. And Jesus even called him a teacher of Israel. But he realized and felt and saw and heard about the love that the Messiah, but yet he didn't know it was the Messiah then, but eventually he called him his Messiah. But he realized that Jesus had a love that he had never experienced before and that he had never even realized existed. And so he came to him. Number 2, it said, this man came to him, came to Jesus that night and said to him, he said, Rabbi, he said, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the things, no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter the second time through his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So what he was telling him is that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. God has put a plan of redemption. God is our Redeemer to redeem his people back. He has put a plan of redemption and salvation in place through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he said, whoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That was already in the plan. And Nicodemus, that's why he came to the Lord at night, because he wanted this salvation. He wanted the truth because he was a teacher of truth. He was a teacher of the Torah, which is the first five books of our Bible in the Old Testament. So he was a teacher. He was a rabbi himself, so to speak. And he was a conqueror of the people. He was a very influential man. And so, but he wanted to know this truth. And he knew that they were waiting on a Messiah. They knew that God was going to provide them a way of escape. But see, the thing is with the Jews at that time, they wanted a king to come in and conquer the Romans, because they had been beaten and done wrong by the Romans. So they wanted a king to come in and fight. But Christ said, I didn't come in that way. I'm coming lowly, but I'm coming by the Spirit of the living God. He said, I'm coming by a New Testament. Anyway, so the new birth. Without the new birth, there is no life and no relationship with God. In the new birth, we can see the kingdom of God. And through the new birth, there is a new realm that God wants us to walk in. The scope of God's love is the world. The depth of God's love is his son. And the fruit of God's love is salvation. So God came to save those which are lost. And he came to give this great love. The greatest company was the world. The greatest lover was God. The greatest giver was God. The greatest redeemer was God. The greatest healer was God. The greatest protection was God. The greatest shield, God. The greatest bridge over troubled water, God. The greatest degree, so love. The greatest gift, his only begotten son. The greatest opportunity, whosoever will. The greatest attraction, in him. God bless you.